All right, prayer. All earthly things with earth will fade away. But prayer grasps eternity. But I'm convinced of this, God does not hear prayer. He hears desperate prayer. Prayer is not a position, whether you need. Prayer is not a position, it's a disposition. You get to the place where you'd rather sweat, you'd rather weep in his presence than laugh in anybody else's presence. You'd rather God whisper a secret into your heart that breaks you. Somebody give you the prizes that all the world covets. Prayer is almost the greatest human privilege that we have.
Good morning again. We're going to be continuing or actually wrapping up our sermon series on prayer. And so this morning, we're going to focus in just a little bit of the heart and faith behind prayer and why it's so important. Because we've been talking a lot about prayer. And so at the end of a sermon series, you can say you know a lot about it. But again, the point actually is not that we know about prayer. It's that we actually pray. And so it doesn't actually matter how much you know about it. The real question is it something you do? Is it something you're actively participating in? Is it something that you sense or see the value of doing in terms of your faith life and your walk with Christ? What I want to read is from the book of Philemon. It's only one chapter. We're going to look at verses 4 through 6, just a short little section of it here. And you can follow along on the screens, or if you have your own Bible or app, you can read along. I'm in the ESV version. This is a letter Paul wrote to Philemon. He says, "I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have towards the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ." What Paul is doing is he's actually giving thanks. He's giving a prayer of thanksgiving for the faithfulness of God's people, period. He's just saying, thank you, God, that they have faith. And not only that they have faith, he gives thanks that because of their faith, they love one another. They show love and mercy and grace to one another in ways that demonstrate that they actually know who Christ is and that they are faithful. And at the end of the day, what Paul is really driving towards is this sense that we become effective in our faith. That is, appreciating the full knowledge, the heaviness, the weight of everything that Christ has done and continues to do in our life through things like prayer, but through the community of the saints sort of encouraging and lifting one another up. And so as I've said, like, prayer is really important, but it's not actually something that's just supposed to be talked about. It's not really meant to be something you sit and sort of listen to me talk about. It's actually something that you should actively be doing. And prayer is incredibly important. Scripture points to this, and we've talked about this over the past several Sundays. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but with prayer and petition, present your request to God, and that the peace of God, which transcends all understandings, will guard your hearts and your minds in and through Christ Jesus." Jesus in Matthew 11 says to you, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Constantly, through the words of Paul and through Jesus, we're being invited to sort of leave our anxiety, leave our burdens, leave our worry, and to be present with God in a significant way, not only through our requests and prayers, but just in his presence, hear him as he speaks to us and assures us of who we are in that prayer. But there's a lot of stumbling blocks to actually praying, right? I mean, it's easier to talk about it and know about it than to do it. I mean, what are some of the stumbling blocks that you have experienced in prayer? I think one of the stumbling blocks is that for a lot of us, it's really the last resort. It's like the thing we do at the very end, instead of at the beginning of any issue, thought, or struggle that we go through. It's like you have to wait for the wheels to come off, for you to get in a place where you no longer know what to do, where you're actually willing to give up control before you go to God and say, okay, God, this is yours. I don't know what to do. For some of us, prayer is a last resort. We'll Google for the solution. We'll read the self-help book. But eventually, we find ourselves with no recourse, no solution. And in our brokenness, we finally go to Him. For some of us, the stumbling block to prayer is that we think we have to have certain words or a degree or a certain way of doing it, or it's not effective. Like, I'm not just talking these and thous. I think most people know you don't have to pray with that kind of language. But there's still something for a lot of people with prayer that it's that they feel like that it has to be done a certain way, or it's not good, or good enough, or maybe God won't hear it. Maybe you do need a seminary degree, right, to pray? And the reason why I know this is, like, I know this is like an occupational hazard or whatever. I mean, it's fine, but like anytime I'm around anybody and it's time for a prayer, like, even though every single Christian in the room should be competent and confident in praying to God, guess who always gets tapped to pray? And actually, I'm not that good at it. I should use more flowery words. I'm like, thanks, God, amen. Like, let's go. Like, every one of us has been invited into this relationship with God, and we all come to Him in our uniqueness, in our own identity, and we offer something that nobody else can offer. You don't need to pray my prayers. You need to pray your prayers. You have your own way of speaking. One of the stumbling blocks to prayer, I actually think, is that we're just too busy. I mean, I think about this heading into the month that we're heading into. Quite a bit, actually. I was thinking yesterday, coming back from vacation, I was like, wow, you know, looking at my calendar, you know how your mind starts to kind of creep back into the things you need to do and refocus on everything at home and at work, and my mind was starting to go that way, and I'm looking at my calendar, and I'm thinking about everything, and I'm like, there is, like, literally not a day or a weekend, I feel like, for the next 20, 30 something days where there's not something that needs to be done or already scheduled. And I think in the midst of all the busyness, we just don't have time to pray. I mean, literally, like, we have so much to do, like, it feels like almost, I guess I'm kind of admitting my own sins here, but maybe you're with me on this, but it almost was like a waste of time to stop what you're doing and pray. Ain't nobody got time for that. Like, I've got stuff I got to get done. But not only that, not only in the busyness of life do I find that it's difficult at times to pray, but because I'm so busy all the time, I'm just tired. Like, I turned 40 on Thursday, and that's not old. Anyone older than me is old. Anyone my age or younger is young, right? No offense to anyone. But there's this thing, like, it wasn't always this way. I don't know. It's been this way for a while. But, like, the times that I, like, really quiet myself down and I think, okay, I'm going to stop being busy. I'm going to quiet my mind down. I'm going to pray. And then I wake up 20 minutes later with drool running down the side of my face. It's like we're just so busy and we go and we go and we go, that not only do we not have time to pray, but when we actually quiet down, you fall asleep. Like, your body's like, done. And so it makes it hard to be present with God and to listen. For some people, what makes praying difficult is they feel guilt or remorse. like there's something in them that says, I'm not worthy enough to go to God because look at me. Look at my life. Like, why would God answer my prayer? And so because of their own guilt or their own shame or their own sort of view of themselves in relation to God, they just don't go to God when actually that's the very thing they should be doing, is seeking Him. And so sometimes that guilt and that shame becomes a stumbling block. Or for some, and we've already talked about this, what prayer is just a wish list, right? It's the list of things that you want from God. And so when you go to God, you're not really looking for a solution from God. You're going to God to prescribe the solution. Like, God, I know what needs to happen, and here are the things that I want. A, B, C. I want so-and-so to be healed. I want to feel good about this, and I want a Tesla, right? Or sometimes it's not a two-way conversation. It's a one-way conversation. And so we miss what prayer is about. Meaning when we go to God with everything and we maybe go through our list, or maybe it's even short or eloquent and sweet and whatever it is, like the step that we miss is we actually don't listen. We don't understand what God's saying to us through either other people in faith or through His Word. I mean, Psalm 46 says, "Be still and know that I am God." And those words sort of echo in my head going into this busy season. Like, not only do I need to find time to pray, but I need to find time to be still. Still. My Texan came out. Be still and listen. And try to understand what God is doing in my life, what He's nudging me to see in all the noise. So there's all these stumbling blocks to prayer, and I think, gosh, at the end of the day, really, we just need to pray. Like, we just need to do this. And so what's a good way to get in the habit of praying? I mean, is it setting your alarm? Is it downloading a certain app? Is it, when you do it, do you need to do something specifically? I mean, truthfully, like, all these things might help cultivate that. And one of the things I'm going to share with you, I'll be honest, I find some of this stuff cheesy, but it's helpful in some ways. But have you guys heard of the ACTS acronym for prayer? A-C-T-S? Yeah. I find this kind of helpful. And so when you think about prayer, like, one of the things you can do is in ACTS, and you ACTS, your ACTS of prayer, stands for adoration. It means you give praise to God because you understand that He is the creator of the universe. Like, He is over all and in all and through all, and so He deserves nothing but your praise and adoration. And so you come to Him acknowledging His power, His wisdom, His might, His authority, His rule, and you just bask in it. Psalm 14 says, "I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable." I love that phrase, "His greatness is unsearchable." It's sort of acknowledging that, like, there's no end to God. And there's comfort in that. And so there's adoration. And then there's, see, is confession. And like, there's a rhythm in worship that we kind of follow a lot of times. And that rhythm follows, in a lot of ways, models some of the ways that we approach God in our own prayers, our own thoughts. And so confession is one of them. And I said this earlier in 1 John, it says that those who believe they do not have sin deceive themselves, and the truth is not in them. And so what prayer does is it brings truth. It's going to God and saying, "God, remove like the hardness in my heart." Maybe it's the hardness in your heart that keeps you from praying in the first place. It's going to God and saying, "God, just create in me something new and clean. Give me faith. Make me faithful." do something different because I can't do it alone. It's that confession, it's that acknowledgement of Him. So we adore Him, we confess to Him, and then we give thanksgiving. And we just celebrated Thanksgiving, right? So this is easy. But we do. We give Him thanks for everything that He does in our life. Like, we just give Him straight up thanks. We thank Him for all the things He gives us, but more than anything, we thank Him for keeping His promise to us. We thank Him for giving us faith. We thank Him for forgiving us when we sin. We thank Him for being consistent and showing up time and time again in the same way, over and over, and despite ourselves saying, I am here, I am your Father, I love you, you are mine. Thank God for that. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And so while we will still experience like sorrow and disappointment, God is still in the midst of that, and we have a lot to be thankful for, because He's good. He's a good Father. So we adore Him, we confess, we give thanks, and then the last one is, it's a weird word, it's supplication. And really it's just a word that means like we just give our requests to Him, or we present our requests to God. And so it's all the things that aren't already included. Like, it's prayers for healing, it's prayers for leaders, it's prayers for whatever it is you can think of, school boards, teachers, one another. It's the desire of your heart for yourself and your family and for others. And God wants these prayers. He wants to hear what's on your heart. He wants to know what you want for yourself and for others. He wants to hear these prayers. In 1 Timothy, he says, first of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. So we pray. We pray for those people. We pray for ourselves. We go to God. There's so many things that can distract us from prayer, but there's so many things that we need to go to God in prayer about. Not only for ourselves, but for others, for mercy, for grace, for faith, for restoration. And we don't need to just talk about it, we need to do it. Because God our Father invites us to. We can approach Him freely, and He's there. So I was thinking, as we head into this busy time of year, more than anything, I would just encourage you to pray. Like, the next month, like in the midst of just everything that will be going on, maybe it's family dynamics that kind of surface, maybe it's remembering a lost loved one during the holidays, maybe it's anxiety about another variant of COVID, I don't know, whatever it is. Take time, be still, trust in God, and listen. That's it. Would you go to God with me in prayer right now? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this moment, for the opportunity to be able to worship with you, to be with fellow followers and believers in Christ. Help us to be faithful. Help us to have faith. Help us to not lose hope. And help us to move forward and listen to where you lead us. God, you are in charge. There's nothing we can do that you don't already know. There's nothing we can do that is apart or separate from you. You're in all and through all and part of everything. And you invite us into this space to be connected to you in a very real and intimate way. And so may we all approach you like the good Father that you are, trusting in your gifts and your promises as you show up day in and day out in each of our lives. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.